We spent some time learning about Parah Aduma, and we are going to be, Be'ezra Hashem, focusing on one important halacha tonight. Parah Aduma, as the name gives it away, so the parah has to be red. And we want to speak about the need, the requirement for it to be red. We've spoken about a lot of the halachas of Parah Aduma. We're trying to sort of finish off a little bit as far as being magdir the parah. What kind of parah is kosher, what kind of parah is not kosher. So we've spoken about, again, in terms of the connection to karban, we've actually spoken about a lot of the halachas. We spoke about how it can't be a bal mum, and spoke about is it the same halacha or a different halacha from other regular karbanos can't be a bal mum. We spoke about mechusar zman, how old it has to be, and how early maybe you're allowed to purchase it. So we spoke last week a little bit of how we purchase it, where it comes from. Today we're speaking about the fact that it has to be red. What does that teach us? What we're going to try to do tonight is really go through a couple of the basic halachos. We're then going to try to just throw out one chakira just to be aware of. Then we're going to focus on one part of the sugya. It's a little bit of a complex part of the sugya. Leads to an insight of Reb Chaim. And hopefully, if we're able to accomplish that, that'll be worthwhile. Let's start like this. L'chorah is mefurish in the Torah. And the parah has to be read. It's parah aduma tamima. It's a parah aduma tamima asher ein bo mum. It has to be read. Rashi, the Sifri, points out that the word tamima, so the word tamima usually means complete, which I would think, says a Sifri, means that it can't be a bal mum. The parah can't have any blemishes. But the Torah already told us that it can't have a bal mum. So ask the Sifri, well, what does tamima come to teach me? It can't teach me that it can't have any blemishes, because that's explicit in Chumash. So rather, interprets the Sifri, what it means is that the aduma, the fact that it's red, that has to be tamim, which means it has to really be completely red. It's not enough to have some of the red, but it really has to have has to be completely red. Let me speak about a couple of things. Number one, what has to be red? So if we look in the Mishnayos, it's very clear that the hair of the para, the hair has to be red. It's implicit in the Mishnayos, it's not explicit, it's implicit in the Mishnayos, this, the Shari Das, which is a great sefer Rav Shlomo Feldman, who put out on like basics, dinim and things like that, on Seder Taros, it's implicit in the Mishnayos, that not only does the hair have to be red, but the basar itself of the Parah Aduma also has to be red. The name sort of like gives it away, that it really has to be red. The Mishnah does clarify that obviously there may be parts of the animal that are not considered to be red. What are the parts that aren't going to be red? So the teeth of the animal, well, those aren't going to be red. The tongue of the animal, parts of the eye of the animal. There's not a need, again, certain parts of the body, but the skin, the basar, the hair, all that stuff really does have to be red. What happens if it's not all entirely red? So the Mishnah in Meseches Parah, Perek Beis Mishnah Hey, Rashi quotes it in his Perush Al HaTorah that it only really becomes a problem if you have two, the Chazal used the term two black hairs, but really means two non-red hairs. That's going to be a problem. If I have one, that's going to be fine. You can still use it as a parah aduma. The Mishnah in Meseches Parah there, again, a Perek Beis Mishnah Hey, does have a discussion, the Farshim debate, some of the details of it, about where those hairs have to be located. Maybe it's only if they're located in some close proximity, those two hairs. Maybe if I have one hair in one part of the animal, another hair in a different part of the animal, so maybe they would still be considered a kosher Parah Aduma. All these halachas are very important because it's very hard to find a Parah Aduma that's completely, you know, red, and that's why if there can be a little more flexibility, one will have a bit of an easier time finding it. This halacha, that if I have one black hair, it's still going to be kosher, where does that come from? Doesn't it say that it's parah aduma tamima, has to be completely red? So here there seems to be two main mahalchim. The more standard view, Rabbi Yehuda Mizrahi in his Perush Al Torah assumes like this, as do many of the achronim, that's really a halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara tells in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah that all shiurim, questions of measurements, are really traditions for Moshe misinai. This is a question of shiur. What are the amount of hairs that are going to passel it? So we have a halacha l'moshe misinai that has to be two hairs. That's what's considered to be passeling it. The machlokes would really be machlokes, but where they're located as to what exactly was the halacha most misina? That's some of the achronim say. If you look in the Sifti Chachamim and his parents on Rashi there, again, this may be in earlier sources also. This is where I came across it. He tries to think it's really based on certain drushas, that if you darshan the psukim in certain ways, the para aduma is a miyat, I think it's how he says para aduma, tamima is a second miyat, one miyat after another miyat, it teaches me the rabos. He thinks that you have certain diyukim, maybe it's not halacha most misinai, maybe it is really a gzeiros hakasav, but as a whole, that's more or less an overview of some of the halachos. So what do we speak about so far? That para aduma has to be red. Its skin has to be red, that's meduyak in the Mishnayos. Its hair has to be red, that's mefurash in the Mishnayos. Does it have to be entirely red? So the Mishnah taught us, well, not all of it, like parts of its eye and its teeth and tongue and things like that. You have more flexibility, but certainly the skin of the animal really does have to be red. The hair has to be red also. How red does it have to be? So if it's two hairs, that's going to pass lip. But we have machloksim in Chazal, in the Mishnayos, in Mesechas Para. So exactly how spread out does it have to be? To be a problem, that's probably a halacha l'mosh misinai, that one hair is not a problem, two hairs, that is considered to be a problem. That's all just like some of the basic halachas of para aduma tamima, how exactly it works. There is an interesting chakira. The sefer put out called Mincha Tahora, Rabbi Wolf, who's a ram in Gush, put a sefer in Taros. It's a particular Arabic expertise of his, I think Kutch and Taros, things like that. He has one sefer which is like a basic sugyas in Kachim, one sugya basic sugyas in Taros. He has another sefer which is a first one, I think, a smaller sefer of some basic sugyas in Nash Mezikin. But his sefer in Taros is a wonderful sefer, especially because it's hard sometimes to find people who write about things in the world of Taros, and he does a very nice job in what he writes about. He asks an interesting question. It's an interesting chakira. I just want to introduce it as a chakira. We're not going to focus on it that much, but it's something which is good to be aware of. This question never comes up. He asks an interesting question. The need for the para to be red, so why is that? What exactly is the function of the para aduma of it being red? On the one hand, you could argue, it's going to sound like, we'll say that in a second, you could argue that the function of it being red, it's just a din that the skin of the animal has to be red. To halacha, the skin of the animal has to be red. Nothing more complex than that. A para is a para. There's an external halacha that its skin has to be red. Another way of suggesting it, he writes, is that maybe the red skin is really indicative, it's more of a simen, to what kind of para it is. We need to have a certain kind of para. How do we know what kind of para it is? The kind of para which is aduma. What's the nafkamina? Who cares either way? If we'll give nafkamina, hopefully that'll clarify. What happens if you have a para that was red, it was a para aduma, and then it developed some sort of like a sickness, and now the animal is not as completely red. What would you say? So he suggests the following. Again, it's not mukhrach, nor is this, we have to see la halacha whether we assume like this. But he says, well, if it's really just a question of it's an external halacha, its skin has to be red, so then its skin has to be red. And even if it would then get sick later, its skin's not red right now, that's a problem. But if the red is really an indication of what type of para it is, so the fact that when it was healthy, the red was able to indicate that this is a really, this kind of para, so that even if it gets sick later on, one could make the argument, it's not mukhrach, one could make the argument that if it gets sick later on, I still know this is the kind of para the Torah was talking about, that its ashes can be used to purify. You can make such an argument, but that is his chakira there. So you can think about in general how much the din in the red, or the red indicates the kind of animal that it is. He thinks there's going to be a lot of different nafkaminas about this that are going to come up as far as how you read the Mishnayos, but that I just wanted to raise a bit as a question. Thus far, we've done two things. Number one, we've gone through some of the basic halachos. Number two, what we've done is we raised just one question about what it means at the para aduma, what exactly this is a din in. We're now going to focus on a third. It's a somewhat of a minor issue. It is one that is important to be able to understand. I think for this year, I made even a chart, which is going to be helpful for us to be able to follow. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Nida. Let me give a little bit of background. there are a variety of halachos in which we require hair. In particular, a lot of halachos where we require two hairs. One of them is this case in Parah Aduma. If it's two black hairs, you're going to pasul the Parah Aduma. Another case, Mishnah and Maseches Nidah points out, is when a person becomes a gadol. When do you become a full adult? When a person has shtei saros. That's when a person becomes a full halachic adult. Now, again, it may be you also require, or how that relates to the need for being 13. That's also going to be a question. The sugya is in Maseches Nidah, exactly how you chashpin it out. But the need for two saros appears there. It appears in the third context that we spoke about 2 years ago, which is in the halachas of tzara'as. Sometimes for tzara'as, for determining, is this really considered to be a tame nega or not? One of the questions is going to be, does it have two hairs in that location, its color, etc.? Those are certain times we have questions about, we require shtei saros. The Mishnah in Maseches Nidah quotes three opinions about a question that appears to be fairly technical. The question the Mishnah asks is, well, these two hairs that pasul para aduma, these two hairs that you need in order to be considered a gadol, etc., how long do these hairs have to be considered hairs? And the Mishnah gives three different definitions. One definition is, k'dei likrut b'tziporen. The way some interpret that, I believe the pshat is, it's you could take your nails and like hold on to the hair. It's long enough that your nails could sort of like pick it up a little bit. This another shear, k'dei lachuf roshan li'ikaran. It's long enough, this may come up in some of the halachas of shaving also, it's long enough that you could fold it back over. It's long enough, you could fold it back over. Lu yitzir, I had hair in my head that was doable for this. I would show off right now what that is, but the Ribono Shel Olam did not bless me with that right now. But long enough that you could sort of like, you know what taka probably is? That you could like refold it over a little bit. The third shear is it's long enough that you could, again, one way of saying it, you could basically cut it with scissors. And I think that's more or less the pshat, that you could cut it with scissors. If it's too close, it's going to be something which is going to be a little bit challenging. That's step one. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara there, Maseches Nidah, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, halacha kedivrei kulan lahachmir. We are machmir for all halachos, depending on the shear. So let's say you're a katan. The Rambam Hilchos Ishas. Let's say you're a katan, and you have hair which is long enough that you're a gadol for some shitas, but short enough that you're still a katan for other shitas, we're just going to be machmir. If it's something where we need a minyan, let's say, we're going to say that you're a katan. If it's something that only a katan could do, we're going to say that you're a gadol. We're just going to be machmir as much as possible. So says the Gemara. There appears to be a machlokas harishonim. When we say that we're machmir, are we machmir misafik? We don't really know what to say, so we just say, you know what? It's good to be machmir. Like sometimes we do say, safik, doraisa, lechumra, etc. Or is it possible? This we'll see. Reb Chaim understands. That's what the Rosh assumes. The Rosh assumes we're machmir misafik. Reb Chaim understands within the Rambam that we're really machmir midin vadai. Mar Ukva saying, I am positive that there are multiple definitions for hair in Chumash, and sometimes it means X, sometimes it means Y, and it always comes out with Chum. How are we doing so far? One, two, and... Okay. What gets a little bit complicated is that we have Machloksim and Rishonim, those different definitions of, I can hold on with my nails, I can fold it back over, I can cut it. So which are the smaller amounts and which are the larger amounts? That's not going to seem so critical right now. But which are the smaller amounts? Which are the larger amounts? If you look at the sheet, I tried to put it there on source number two, under source number 13. So the Rashi thinks the smallest amount is holding onto my nails, then folding over and cutting it is the longest amount of hair. I said it's the shortest and longest. For the Rambam, it's in a different order. For the Rambam, the shortest is the one I can cut. Folding over is in the middle. Sorry. For the Rambam, the shortest is to cut. The middle one is has to do with nails, I believe, and the largest one is that I could refold it over. I think that's how it goes for the Rambam's shita. Yeah, folding it over for the Rambam is the largest shear. all good. What we should expect, we're going to start really holding cup in a second right now. What we should expect if we're going to be machmir is to that the Rambam also would always paskin l'chumra. In Hilchos Ishas, when you speak about a katan becoming a gadol, the Rambam says, we got to always go l'chumra. Hilchos Negayim, the Rambam may also always go l'chumra. Hilchos Parah Aduma, it gets a little bit complicated. There the Rambam does not always go l'chumra. Here is the case. We're going to have to really sort of like pay attention. The following. What's the halacha if a hair at the beginning of the hair where it goes out of the body is red, but then it gets black as it grows? It was red, but then it gets black as it continues to grow. Is that called a red hair, or is that called a black hair? Shaila Chazal. The Rambam writes as follows in Hilchos Parah Aduma, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. You can take off some of the black of it. As long as the base is red, you're considered to be okay. However, how much red has to be left? Sarech sheyishar min hamadim kidei sheyinatel bezug. It has to be short. How much red has to be left? Enough for me to cut. Enough I can cut it off with a scissor. The Rambam just paskin the kula. We're going to say that right now. We want to know how much red has to be left for the para aduma to be kosher. What should we have said? How much red has to be left? Well, for the Rambam, the largest shear is the amount I could fold over. What the Rambam should have said, if you want to make sure that the animal's still kosher, how much red has to be left? The largest amount that's called hair, because I'm machmir. How long should it be? Long enough for me to fold it back over. But what the Rambam said was, how much red has to be left? He said the smallest shear, the biggest kula. How much red has to be left? Enough red that I could cut with a scissor. Why does the Rambam suddenly go likula? Isn't it clear in the Gemara, like he Rambam himself paskin in Hilchos Ishas, that we should always go lichumra? That is the question of the Kesef Mishnah. It's a question dealt with by the Minchas Chinuch, by the Or Sameach, by Reb Chaim, by Reb Shach, by the Chazon Ish. A big question in Achronim. The following, I'll say it one more time. The Gemara says, when it comes to questions about how long hair has to be, we should always be machmir. Asks. However, the Rambam understands that there's one halacha in Parah Aduma where we're going to be more mekel. It's always about, as long as you have red hair with black hair, get rid of the black. As long as there's enough red hair left that when you cut it, the smallest shear would be remaining, it's kosher. It's a kula. The smallest shear is small enough to cut with a scissor. And the Rambam says, as long as it's small enough to cut with a scissor, it's considered to be kosher. The Rambam is makel. As far as clarity in that question, 1, 2, and...
Is he always
machmir. No, Daf with this one specific halacha. That's for Rashi, not for the Rambam. Okay. There are two ways to answer the question. None of them require that much holding and which is longer, which is shorter. So if that was like holding cup about that, you can move on and it's on the sheet and you'll be okay. The Kesef Mishnah quotes one Pshat Hilchos Parah Aduma from the Mari Korkus, the following Pshat. He says maybe the Rambam learns it a little bit differently. Maybe the Rambam learns it when Mar Ukva says Vakulan Lahachmir, that means really everything except for Parah Aduma. That we're in general we're very machmir, but we're not going to be as machmir in the context of Parah Aduma. The problem you're going to have is to figure out, well, why would that really be? If Kulan's really lahachmir, if I'm machmir in Hilchos Isha, etc., so why am I not going to be machmir in Parah Aduma? The Mishnah Lamelech and Hilchos. The Mishnah Lamelech, Hilchos Tumas Saras, the right, you can't even suggest this is really true. I don't buy this at all. But one possibility is that normally we're always machmir, but in Parah Aduma we have a set halacha And the set halacha with where consistent in Parah Aduma is it's about what could you cut with a scissor. That's one way of saying it. Reb Chaim comes along. I want to say Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is, I think it's really hard. It took me a while to, I think, understand it. But I'll say it out. It's a sharp ha'ara of Reb Chaim. And it's important, again, for this. I don't know where, again, I don't know when else but this would really come up. So it's not a bad, other than neither the debate. So it's not a bad place for us to talk about it. So Reb Chaim is like this. It's very, honestly, it's very Reb Chaim. The machlokes in the Mishnah about how long the hair has to be, and we say kulan lahachmir, that machlokes is shayach in areas of halacha where the real question is there hair or is there not hair? It's a din in the guf haseyar. Is there hair, is there not hair? Is the kid a gadol or not? It's a shayla. Does he have two hairs? Do not have two hairs. Normal para aduma, it's all black. I want to know, is that called two black hairs? Is it not called two black hairs? Raman Paskins, Lechumra, even a little bit of two small black hairs, that's called black hairs, your puzzle. You have two small, the katan has, it's a question of, I require a din, is there hair, is there not hair? Okay, easier said than done. What's going on in Hilchos para aduma? This is where it gets a little bit tricky. The question is not, is there hair or is there not hair? The question is the following. What's the precise case? The case is, I have some red on the hair and then some black. My question is not, is it a chalos shem hair? My question is, am I being magdir it as red or magdir it as black? Is the red significant enough that we can call this red hair? Not a question of is there hair there? For sure there's hair there. It's not my question. My question is the black that's there, does the black that grew out remove its status of being red or not? Is the red sufficiently chashuv? How are we doing so far? I'll tie it together in a second. One, two, and three. Okay. How do I determine what's called chashuv, says Reb Chaim? This is going to get really like fancy. When we say v'kulan lahachmir, what we mean, says Reb Chaim, is a din vadai. Lehalacha, there are three definitions in Torah of hair. One definition, my nails. One definition, I could fold it over. One definition, I could cut it. They're all good definitions. So what is the Rambam Paskin? He Paskin's like this. When I want to determine what's called hair, so I have to always be machmir. But here my question is the red chashuv? Is the red sufficiently chashuv to call this red hair? When I want to find out, says Reb Chaim, is the red sufficiently chashuv to be called red hair, what's my criteria? Is this considered to be hair anywhere in halacha? As long as somewhere in halacha, this amount of red has a chalos shem hair, this red is chashuv enough that we'll call this red hair. As far as defining what's called hair, that's where Reb Chaim says, depends, if there's halacha, I'll be more machmer mekel. Here my question is the red chashuv? Is the red chashuv enough? Is the black going to overpower it? Is the red chashuv? Here, says Reb Chaim, so long as the red is chashuv enough that in some area of halacha this red would be called hair, it's chashuv enough, the black can't change its status, as can't remove it. As far as clarity, not kashuv, as far as clarity, one, two, and three. Obviously, if we're breaking it down, there are a lot of ha'aras that you can make on Reb Chaim. Number one, how, again, this is important to realize, what Reb Chaim is doing is not always saying, a lot of Achronim, what I would say lichatila. He's trying to say, given what the Rambam says, what is the best way for me to come along and try and explain the Rambam? He's saying, are there assumptions in this Mahalach? For sure there are assumptions. You're assuming two things. When we say kulan lahachmir, we don't mean it's always true. That we have this chiluk between guf haseyar and relative chashivas. What else is he assuming? Even if I buy the chiluk of, one, what's called hair, and two, when's he going to lose the status of red? You could have argued the Indian Parah Aduma, I don't care about the shear of Kol Torah Kula for what's called red. I care about the specific shear that, generally speaking, matters in Parah Aduma. Those are all Ha'aras. But that's in general, that is Reb Chaim's, that's Reb Chaim's real Mahalach. Let's try and just summarize what we did tonight. We tried tonight to give us some insight. The Parah Aduma has to be red. Has to be red. We darshan that from the Sifrei. Not only is it red, has to be tumim in its redness. Has to really be completely red. We can get away with one black hair, maybe even two, depending on, or more, depending on where it's located in the animal. Those are machloksim. The fact that one is mutter probably is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Though some achronim suggest maybe it is some sort of a drasha. We spoke about a chakira. What's the function of the red? It's stam adin that they have to have red hair. Again, you require red basar also, though it's not mefurish in the Mishnah. What's a din in the red? It's a din that stam, this color has to be red. It's only dependent halacha. Or is it really reflecting that the animal, this is the sug of animal, it's more of a simmon, it's a sug of animal that we're looking for, and maybe a nafkamina or two. We spoke about a question, though, these black hairs that passel it, how long do they have to be? So in general, it's a machlokes tanam and mesechas nida. When you require hair, how long does it have to be? It's not meaning maybe for payas, how long do your payas have to be? Maybe it has to be long enough that you could refold it. Very, very thin payas, maybe would not be, that's where the halacha is going to come up, as far as where you require seyer and the like. There is some discussion in Achronim, the Aruch Laner, it's really probably Machlokes Mishonim, Rash and Rambam. Is this true in all halachas that require hair, specifically Parah Aduma, Shir of a Gadol, and questions of Tzara'as, how sweeping is that, that's a Shailam Rishonim. But we spoke about how in Parah Aduma in particular, could be it gets a little bit fancier as far as how long the hair has to be. And we saw in particular the Rambam, and though he's generally speaking machmir of how long it has to be, I seem to have a cool in Parah Aduma, that if I have hair which is red in the beginning, there I'm going to be makel, as long as there's enough red that you could cut it with a scissor, that's going to be good enough. Why is Rambam makel here? Mari Korkas, maybe Rambam thinks in general that you have to be machmir, but not what's in Parah Aduma. Mahalach number two for Reb Chaim, a fancy mahalach, when it comes to definitions of length of hair, certain halachas require hair. This particular halacha is not a question of hair, it's a question of, is the red sufficiently chashuv to call this red hair? And there the Rambam says, is it sufficiently chashuv? Well, so long as it's called hair in some area of halacha, it's sufficiently chashuv, it's still going to be considered red hair, and that's why the Rambam understands that the Parah Aduma, as long as hair was originally red, and that was long enough, you cut with a scissor, the Rambam says that's considered to be kosher. We're going to maybe have just one more, hopefully next week we'll speak about Parah Aduma, the Isser Malacha, what I'm allowed to do with a Parah Aduma, and then from there we're going to start speaking really about the process, now that we have our Parah Aduma, we're good to go, the Kohen Gadol, we have some Sreifa, some Shechita, some Zrika, we have a lot of stuff going on, but the goal again, where we're making our way through, probably one more shear, as far as the status of the Parah Aduma itself. Shkayach, have a wonderful rest of your evening.